It's been a kind of a busy weekend, hasn't it? It's really kind of been a busy month. You look back over the last month, a lot's been going on in the congregation here. We've had a men's retreat, we've had a wedding, we've had a harvest day, we've had a women's retreat, we've had a family seminar. Going to take it easy this coming week. Going to slow down just a little bit, but you know, it's been a great weekend, and I was talking to a couple of brothers just before coming in tonight, and just talking about how it just seems like no matter how long you've been a Christian, how many lessons you've heard, how many times you've heard someone talk about family, there's just always something that you need to be applying to your life, and we were talking about that this evening. I was with Ken for lunch and then took him to the airport this afternoon and just got to talk to him about some things that I know that I needed to hear. And my wife was glad I heard them, I know. So, Saturday he was talking about men, then he was talking about women. I felt like getting up and saying, you know, I agree with about half of everything he says. But I thought, nah, I better not do that. But it's just, I have really appreciated this weekend and have really... I've been challenged and also convicted in good ways, and I think in a way that will be beneficial to my life. And maybe tonight, I don't know about you, maybe tonight after the last month, after the last several weeks, maybe we get a little bit tired at times. You know, there just seem to always be something to work on in our lives, something we need to be working on spiritually, personally. And then on top of that, there are always some kind of challenge, some kind of problem, some kind of issue, some kind of trauma, some kind of family problem. There's always, it seems, something that challenges us, concerns us. I couldn't help but think of that as our brother led us in prayer tonight. The concerns we have as a family, and Stan mentioned several of them. And of course, the list continues. And there are concerns that we have that we don't talk about. Maybe because they're a little bit more private nature. We may talk to a friend, one or two friends about them, but we don't necessarily speak about them publicly. But there's always something about the future that is beyond our grasp, something that we don't know, how something's going to go, how something's going to turn out, the demands that are made on us, demands sometimes for our time or for our energy. In life, it's so easy between all the different forces that we deal with, that we navigate in life, kind of the push and the pull, the stresses that come. And it seems to me, in talking to people both young and older and in the middle, that it doesn't really matter what your age is or your stage in life. There always is something. There's just always going to be something like that. And though life has its ebbs and flows, there are seemingly almost always something that presses in and doesn't let go of us, something that's not quite resolved or not known or not overcome in our life. In the midst of all this that's going on, of course, is our life with God. You know, sometimes we say it's in those moments of greatest stress that we're driven to God in prayer. That may be true, but at times, often, when we have concerns or when we get busy or when we get discouraged or when something's pressing in on us, the aspect of our life that can frequently get ignored is our relationship with God. Because maybe our scheduled quiet time gets interrupted because other things have come up and demand our time in some sort of demanding, urgent way. Or maybe those times that we tend to have that are quiet with God are filled with noise from situations in our lives. And at times, the times that we might have for meditation or prayer get set aside because we're too busy working on some problem that needs to be fixed. And for me, when this happens, when that part of my life suffers, that time with God, I know that I always feel a sense of frustration and depletion and weakness. Sometimes it's easier to be angry or to be empty or to be confused or to have a sense of being powerless or even losing your grip on hope. So tonight, after a kind of a full weekend and in many ways a pretty busy month in our church family, with a week of worries and a week of schedules and a week of all those things that lie ahead of us. Tonight, I just want to give us all a very simple reminder, and Willie's already mentioned it and we've been singing about it, but it's simply, don't forget to pray. Don't forget to pray. Never forget to pray. Prayer is our spiritual lifeblood. It's the place where we connect with God and find emotional energy and also divine power. It's what keeps us connected to our Father in heaven. It's so, so very important. When we pray, Jesus mediates, the Holy Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words, and the Father in heaven opens up his heart to hear us. We must never forget to pray. Prayer, Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, is at the heart of the spiritual battles that we're facing in life. You know the section in Ephesians 6 on the armor of God. Paul begins there in verse 12 by saying, our struggle isn't against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. He then talks about the armor that we put on that we're very familiar with. And then in verse 18, he rounds it all out by saying, and pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Paul reminds us that we are continually in spiritual life and death battles. And there are those things that come against us that are brought into our lives oftentimes by the evil one. It may be as simple as something that distracts us or something that's causing us fear or stress, some challenge, some demand, some temptation. Those are the things that we know Satan uses all of the time to try to weaken us, to get to us. And Paul reminds us that we need God. We're insufficient on our own. We can't stand against the enemy alone. We can't deal with these problems on our own spiritual power. We need to see these demonic strategies that are often raised up against us and depend upon God in prayer, because I can't solve my problems. I can't solve the problems that I'm facing today. I'm sure you have a few too. On my own, I can't solve them. I can't meet every demand that's being placed on my life at times. I can't, on my own strength, defeat every temptation that comes my way. I don't have the wisdom for the future. I don't know what's coming. I don't have the power to overcome obstacles in my life that are greater than my own human power. I can't bring about my own spiritual growth. I'm not going to enjoy an abundant life because I've just tried so hard, but because God is at work in me and giving me strength and power and just giving me that connection with him, that his power is the means for all of those things. So let's not forget to pray. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, in his prayer for the Philippians or for the Ephesians, he reminds them of what's happening as he's praying for them, the change that's going on in their heart, the spiritual power that is transmitted when we come to God in prayer. He says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul says, I'm praying that as I'm praying, and it's that you're coming before God, that out of his glorious riches, he can give you power, that he can strengthen your inner person, that he can fill you with his Spirit, so that Christ can dwell in your heart by faith. You'll be established in love. You'll know the love of God, and that you can be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. It's in prayer that we come to know that kind of power. That's where we find the strength. That's where we're replenished and renewed. And so it's so very important for us not to forget. Don't forget to pray. And not only for ourselves, but for one another. What a great way to bless one another, to support one another, to join our hearts together, to be part of one another. I appreciate the emails that we get often several times a week that inform us of needs for prayer. And I just know that when that's going out, that we get those emails, and wherever we are, at least in that moment, just immediately, we stop and we pray for one another. You know, tonight we prayed for a friend of Jen's, and you know, we prayed for a Thursday night in our Bible class, thinking about this family that has had such a tragedy. To be able to lift each other up, to be able to pray for one another when we know about these things, it's so very important to our spiritual life, and to know that there are times when we're the recipients of that strength, when people are praying for us. Paul talks about a brother named Epaphras from the church at Colossae who's visiting him when he's in prison in Rome. And in Colossians chapter 4, he writes to the church, Epaphras' home church, and he says, "Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him. He's working hard for you." Here's a man who was praying for his brothers and sisters in Christ. And Paul says he's wrestling. He's wrestling for you. He's working hard for you. We have an opportunity this week to pray for one another. Certainly we'll be remembering to pray for our own needs, but let's remember one another. The concerns, the hurts, the fears, the situations that other brothers and sisters in the family are facing, and make sure that we pray. Because when we fail to pray, we lose such a vital aspect of what we need for our spiritual growth, that connection with God. We're deprived of things God wants us to have. In James chapter 4, verse 2, James says, "You have not because you ask not." That's been a convicting verse at times in my life, because I've thought, what are the things God wants to do in my life that I'm not even asking him for? What power does God want me to have to face this problem, and I haven't even asked him for that power? What wisdom would he impart to me if I only fell before his throne and begged for wisdom? And when we fail to pray, we don't receive the answers that God wants to give. His power is not tapped. His will is not received. His wisdom and power are not imparted to us. And that's when Satan can so easily gain supremacy in our lives. And those things that are going on in our lives, we know all those things we can name. Satan wants to use every one of those to hurt us, to destroy us, to weaken us. God wants to be involved in all of those, in our dependence upon him through prayer, to make us stronger, to make us more faithful, to shape us into what he wants us to be. And when we fail to pray, we miss out on that power and understanding that God would grant us, that would change our outlook and the results of those difficulties that we face. But what blessings prayer brings. We can read about them in Scripture, of course, but honestly, you know them, don't you? We know the blessings of prayer. Every one of us. We've had moments in our lives that just seemed so dark, where it seemed that things could never be better. Times when we were hurting, and for a variety of reasons. And we know that when we come to God in prayer, there's some things that happen in our lives that makes such a difference. To be connected with him, to connect with the Father, to draw on that relationship. And out of that relationship, God answers us, and we find strength and intimacy. Because, as we all know, the bottom line of prayer is to draw near to God. It's to come into the heart of God, and for his heart to come into you. That it's when we fail to pray that we lose that intimacy with him. But when we come to God in prayer, we find that blessing and power. We can know that peace that Paul says surpasses understanding. That's when we can face the demands. We find the power to overcome the obstacles, the wisdom to navigate those unexpected turns that come our way, the ability to live with peace when our future is unknown, when we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. That's when we are able to endure whatever's happening in our life, if it's suffering or illness or uncertainty. That's when we can endure those things with hope and stand against the attacks of the evil one. Because prayer unleashes the power of God and it changes things. Prayer changes things because in prayer, our hearts and our attentions are turned from ourselves to our Father. We draw close to Him. And it's in that, isn't it? It's not always so much in the answer. It's sometimes just in the process of prayer that our doubts fade away, that our trust begins to grow, that we realize that God is in this, that God has made promises to us that we can count on. I would imagine we pretty much all love Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And Ken mentioned it at least two, maybe three times this weekend. And I'll have to say that once more, it was a convicting passage to me. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We all could probably just about quote that passage. We know it very well. But I was convicted by some things that Ken said about the passage this weekend, because I thought about how many times I go to the Father in prayer, and when I'm done, I take the burdens with me. I don't leave them with Him. I don't really trust Him in a sense. Of course, I would never say that I don't trust God. Of course I trust God, but in the way I carry the burden with me, it belies the fact that on some level I'm still feeling like my future's unknown, and I'm concerned about that. Something that Ken said this weekend just really stuck with me, that there are times in our lives, and maybe they're the times that are the most difficult, when we just have to claim that passage by faith and accept it and do it and live by it, and by sheer faith in God and His Word, truly leave our anxieties and our worries at the throne. To do this, not just to read about it, but to do it, and to know that God is sovereign, that God is still in control of my life, God is in control of this world, God is going to bring about His will, I can trust Him, I can accept whatever it is that God will bring down the line for me, to pray and to bring that to God. In the scriptures, we read the stories. Hezekiah prays, and 15 years are added to his life. Hannah prays, barren Hannah, and receives a child. Joshua prays, and the son moves back. And then James tells us in James 5:17 that Elijah, who's just like you, he's a man, he's a human being, just like you, he prayed, and for 3 years it didn't rain. And he prayed, and God sent the rain. David cries out to anguish in God, not understanding how God can allow circumstances in his life. And in those Psalms, we find sometimes God does change those circumstances and delivers him. But we also find in those Psalms that sometimes God changes David. God leaves the circumstances there, but He shapes David. He shapes David's heart. He calls David to a greater faith, to a greater level of trust. Because prayer isn't some sort of magic spell or blank check or trump card that we can play. It's not about we can just do it and then get everything we want, because we realize that God responds to our prayers in very different kinds of ways according to His sovereign will. It isn't always yes. It's sometimes wait. It's sometimes no. It's sometimes not now. It's sometimes, well, sort of like that, but mainly like this. We know how that works with God, but we do know that He hears the prayers of His children, and He responds to them, and that He is the sovereign and sovereign of my life, not just of the universe, but of me. So we complete a busy weekend. We have a new week ahead. We already know some of the things we're going to be facing this week. All of us do. And there will be some things we haven't anticipated. Demands or hurts or decisions or obstacles, temptation, unknown things that loom ahead of us. Don't forget to pray. Pray for your own life. Pray for your relationship with God. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray for the church. Pray for the coming of God's kingdom in this world. And trust the Lord. And leave things at His throne. And believe in Him. Believe in His power. And wait on Him to answer. Back in Ephesians 3, where we read the prayer of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, after that prayer in verses 20 and 21, Paul speaks a word of praise to God, and it's our final word tonight. He says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." How many times we've seen God unleash His power in response to prayer. How many times have I had to ask God to forgive me for doubting that He would do it again? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night to day. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. May God enrich our lives this week as we come to the throne room through the blood of Christ and find Him waiting for us there. Tonight, if there's anything that the church here can help with in your life, to pray for you, to pray along with you, to in any way encourage you with some problem that you might be facing, or if tonight you're wanting to come into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, through the blood of Christ, that will open up not only salvation to you and eternal life, but this relationship with God that allows you to speak to Him, to come before His throne, to be in communion with your Creator. We invite any who need to come to the Father to come while we stand, while we sing.